To you, what makes, you know, NASA's Juno reaching Jupiter such an important event or breakthrough for space discovery?
Well, Jupiter is definitely the dominant planet in the solar system. There is no other object in the solar system that hasn't felt the influence of Jupiter. I like to tell my class that planets are really just the leftovers from star formation, because the planets in the solar system account, if you put them all together, they account for about one part in 1,000th of the star's mass, of our sun's mass. So when you're talking about the solar system, the planets almost don't matter in terms of the total mass of the solar system. Where they matter, though, is in the angular momentum, the spinning motion of the solar system. The planets have most of that. In particular, Jupiter and Saturn are the ones that really contain the angular momentum. So the planets have an important job, even though they don't take up most of the mass of the solar system. But since Jupiter is so dominant over the other planets, even Saturn, which is the next biggest, is less than a third the mass of Jupiter. You know, in terms of both mass and angular momentum, Jupiter kind of rules the solar system. So it really set the architecture of our asteroid belt, like where the asteroids are today. It's created a population of comets. It tends to capture comets that fall into the solar system.
Prior to Juno, we don't know much about Jupiter. Is that correct?
Well, there was a mission to Jupiter in the mid-1990s called Galileo. And Galileo did lots of really interesting work, but it actually had a problem with broadcasting data back to Earth. It had a slow bit rate, so something went wrong with the antenna, and it wasn't able to transmit back nearly as much data as it was supposed to be able to. So even though Galileo really did a lot of great science and everybody was excited about the results, there seemed like the potential to do a lot more, particularly with respect to mapping Jupiter's clouds. And so Juno mission is kind of a follow-on to Galileo. So 20 years later, we get to take another look.
And I assume, too, that in contrast to Galileo, we've got this thing called the Juno Cam, which will enable better monitoring, right?
Yeah, the Juno Cam is going to take some very detailed images of Jupiter. And of the images we get back from Jupiter, probably the Juno Cam is going to be responsible for the most spectacular ones. Another camera that's going to do some really interesting things is called JIRAM. It's an acronym for Jovian Infrared and Auroral Mapper. So the JIRAM is going to look at the very tops of the clouds on Jupiter. It looks down to about pressures of, like, say, 5 to 7 bars, which a bar is roughly the atmospheric pressure on Earth. So it's going to look into layers that get to about 5 to 7 times the atmospheric pressure on Earth. And it's an infrared instrument. So when we look at images, they'll have to be rendered in false color. Otherwise, you know, it's looking at light that our eyes can't see. But I think that's going to be pretty spectacular as well. I mean, Jupiter has some really amazing storm systems. So getting a closer look at those storms and how they work is going to tell us a lot about Jupiter's atmosphere.
And Sally, talk a little bit about the mysteries of Jupiter and what we hope to learn.
One of the big mysteries is the composition of Jupiter. So one of the things that the spacecraft will do is it's going to measure the shape of Jupiter to a high degree of accuracy. Jupiter is not a perfect sphere. It's actually flattened in the middle. We call that oblate. It's sort of like if you take a sphere and you pancake it down a little bit. And the shape, together with the speed of rotation, it can tell us a lot about the interior structure of Jupiter. So based on the shape and rotation data and data about the composition of the atmosphere, we can hopefully put together a really detailed model that would tell us, for example, whether Jupiter has a solid core. It seems like the other planets, the other giant planets, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune, actually do have solid cores in the middle, which means they have something like you would imagine a solid planet like Earth, except maybe 10 times as massive as Earth, or even more than that. And then their outer layers are just gas. But we don't know for sure if Jupiter actually has one of these cores inside. the better data will help answer that question. Another open question is how much oxygen is in Jupiter. So the Galileo spacecraft did actually drop a probe into Jupiter's atmosphere. And the goal of that probe, in part, was to count up the amount of oxygen as it was descending into the atmosphere. And it returned a really low number for the amount of oxygen. And that surprised people because Jupiter is supposed to be very oxygen rich, in part due to having formed in an icy part of our planetary nursery. So ice, of course, is H2O. And so if you form where there's a lot of ice, then you would imagine that today the planet has a lot of H2O molecules, but the Galileo probe didn't find that. And so the question is, did the Galileo probe just happen to hit a hot spot in Jupiter's atmosphere where there's less oxygen and the composition doesn't reflect Jupiter as a whole, which is what a lot of people think? Or do we really not understand the composition of Jupiter? So those are some of the questions that Juno will help answer.
Yeah, and segueing off of that, talk a little bit more about the broader implications. What will knowing more about Jupiter enable us to do?
Planet formation is my specialty, and there are different theories about how planets might form. There's a bottom-up theory, which suggests that planets start when little pieces of space dust stick together, and then you stick enough dust together and you get something like a sand grain, and then you grow rocks, and then you grow asteroids made out of rocks. And the process of how to do that is actually quite difficult. There's a lot of physics in there that we don't understand. But somehow eventually you get up to what we call this core, which is basically the giant rocky planet that would be like 10 times the mass of Earth, that would be at the center of Jupiter. So that's the bottom-up process. We call it core accretion, and it starts with the little dust grains sticking together. There's another possibility, which is called gravitational instability, and that's kind of a top-down process where you would collapse the entire planet at once, basically, just out of a big ball of gas. So in the bottom-up theory, you grow the solid core first, and then the gravity of the solid core is enough to attract hundreds of Earth masses of gas. You know, so imagine this gravity pulling in several hundred times the Earth's mass in hydrogen and helium gas. And then in the top-down model, gravitational instability, you collapse the whole planet in one go in just about 1,000 years, which, it doesn't sound fast, but in astronomical time, that's really fast. You know, it's thousands of years versus millions of years for the bottom-up process. And for the top-down process, you may form a core inside the planet, but you don't have to. So that's a process by which Jupiter would end up with no core. So the question of whether Jupiter has a core is an important one for understanding how it actually formed, whether it was bottom-up or top-down.
And, you know, basically due to high radiation exposure, Juno is supposed to, like, only dip in through the atmosphere, I guess, every couple of weeks for a few hours. And is this one of the things, like, should we have any reservations about this mission, partly because of this, the high radiation?
Yeah, Jupiter has a very intense magnetosphere. So that just means lots of charged particles, a high concentration of ions. And those can be very damaging to electronic instrumentation. So that is a big concern. And all the instruments on Juno were specially designed in order to withstand these high levels of charged particles. I would guess that this is one of the issues that gives them sleepless nights is how well is Juno and its instruments going to withstand the radiation. It only has a finite mission lifetime. It will be able to go for a little while, but at some point, eventually, the radiation is going to win. I think JIRAM, the Jovian Infrared Aurora Mapper, has maybe 8 orbits that it's going to be able to do. So basically 8 dips through the atmosphere of Jupiter. And if it manages more than that, that's great. But I think the mission specs only call for 8.